Thank you, church family. What a beautiful, beautiful moment. And let's pray that we will see more people in our community make that decision to run after Jesus and follow him. Last year, after taking a 20-week preaching sabbatical, thank you, Pastor Mark, and we'll hear from you again, I preached for 36 consecutive weeks, which is a record for me. And so I decided I just need a three-week break until the first Sunday of Lent, which will be in 3 weeks. And so we've got three really good speakers the next 3 weeks. This week, we're going to have Richard come and share the Word of God with us. So Richard, come and we'll get you set up. Come and share the Word of God with us this morning.
Good morning.
There. Good morning. I don't know, but if you ever noticed that the older you get, the faster time goes by. Last week, I had a birthday. I turned 68. And the following day, which I planned this, my wife and I celebrated our 8th anniversary. Some of you guys have put up with me for over 8 years. That's award-winning performance there. A lot of you didn't know this, but many, many years ago, I was going to medical school. But I had to give it up. I keep losing my patience. But I don't know why, though, because I had the same prayer. Every night I went to bed, Father, give me the patience to deal with these people and give it to me now. By the way, that's the name of my lesson. Give it to me now. When you get tired of waiting, you get impatient. When you lose your patience, you lose your temper. And that's never a good thing. Because everybody nowadays wants something fast. They want it now. Instant coffee. Instant cocoa. Put a little water in a cup, throw it in a microwave, and 30 seconds later, you're ready to go. Instant potatoes. But, however, I have to admit that I have made mashed potatoes several times, and it's a lot of work, so I will let that one slide. Because when I was a little boy, my mom would be in the kitchen making mashed potatoes. Rick, get in here and smash these potatoes for me. And by the time I got to be about 12 years old, I was an expert at smashing potatoes. Okay, you have microwaves. You have fast food. You have pizza delivery, 30 minutes or less. You have DoorDash. If you're driving somewhere, get you a fast car. Just drive faster if you're in a hurry. Like George Carlin used to say, if you drive slower than me, you're an idiot. If you drive faster than me, you're a maniac. Please turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Genesis, chapter 1, verse 16. And God made two great lights, the great light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, the sun and the moon, of course. He made the stars also. And to rule over the day and over the night and divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Chapter 1, verse 27. So God created a man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And on the seventh day, God rested. And that's when the waiting commenced for God. If any of you noticed that the cartoon on the bulletin was the same this week as it was last week? Because I read it last week and I go, wow, that's going to fit in perfect with my lesson. So a good friend of mine put it in this week's too. It's quite humorous. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And this is God talking to the snake. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. God was talking about the Messiah. He promised Eve that through her bloodline would become a Messiah. So from that day forward, every woman that had a baby was hoping that it was Jesus. Now, and if you go, now we're in the first book of the Bible. If you go all the way to the middle, the end of the Old Testament, you have Malachi. Between Malachi and the book of Matthew, which is the first Bible book in the New Testament, 400 years transpired. But there was nothing worthwhile or noteworthy. So there was a gap there. Everyone, including God, is waiting for something to happen. Now we're going to skip to the 19th century AD. We all know about the Declaration of Independence. We claimed our freedom from England. We got tired of King George taking our money. So a few years later came along Abraham Lincoln. This is the 19th century, 1863. He recited the Gettysburg Address. It was one of the shortest but most quoted and eloquent speeches in United States history. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated may long endure. 47 years ago, that's 87 years. We gave King George his walking papers. 87 years later, we're fighting against each other. We're drawing a line in the sand. These are our rules, those are your rules. You come over here, we're going to kill you. I don't care if you're my brother or my cousin. How impatient could that be? They expected a perfect world in 100 years. Didn't work out that way. People in the South were not patient at all. With some states, they seceded from the Union immediately after Lincoln became president. Okay, let us return to 15 months B.C. Book of Luke, chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 verse 13. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Verse 30. Chapter 1 verse 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Verse 36, And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. Now, did you notice that whenever the angel talked to Zacharias and Mary, he said, Do not be afraid? If you ever get approached by an angel, And he doesn't say, do not be afraid. Be afraid. Remember the guy with the talking donkey? Okay, Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. An angel came in to her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. God's wait is over. Ever since Eve, no woman was worthy of carrying a baby that called the Son of God until Mary. Chapter 2, verse 10. Luke, chapter 2, verse 10. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Amen. Mary's wait is over. All the women in the world, their wait is over. The Savior was born. We got our Messiah. Turn to Matthew, please. Book of Matthew, chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, verse 10. I'm going to show you some magic here. Verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. We're talking about the wise men that were looking for Jesus. Okay, verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Okay? Now between verse 10, when they saw the star, which was shining over where Jesus was born in the manger, verse 11, they go to see him in a house. Now these wise men have been looking for Jesus between 4 months and 2 years. They finally found him in Bethlehem. And by the way, when the wise men presented these gifts, they told Jesus, these gifts are for your birthday and for Christmas. And in my opinion, I haven't proved this, but I've done some research on it. When they gave Mary those gifts, they gave them to Jesus, but he was a baby, of course. They gave him gold, first thing they mentioned. Mary, and probably Joseph, went out and bought some scrolls so they could teach Jesus. How else would he have all that knowledge? God isn't just going to go, boom, you're a genius. He had to work and earn and learn that knowledge. Okay, Jesus grew up, obviously. 33, 34 years later, or after he was born, he started his work. And then he tells the story of the prodigal son, which means wastefully extravagant. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not so many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. and they are wasted as substance with riotous living. The boy asked for his inheritance, which you're supposed to get when your parents die. But back then, they had the right, the children had the right to claim their inheritance, which is basically saying, I wish you were dead, I want your money now. So the father said, fine. He gave him his money. He went out and blew it all with whores and wine and wound up sleeping with pigs. And then he decided, maybe if I go back, my father will give me a job. Verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The rich people don't run. It's beneath them. But this guy did. And it says, when he saw him, he was waiting for his son. He wasn't just going, oh, forget him. He's got his own thing now. Every day he was out there watching. Well, I'll be glad when my son comes back. And he did. Good things come to those who wait. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. And forgive each other as God has forgiven you. That's not right. I thought I had that memorized. I guess I'm just... Okay. I'll try one more time. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So when you're running low on patience, still be kind. Just, you know, be nice. Book of Galatians, chapter 5. I'm going to read this out of your blue book. Galatians, chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Did you hear that, what I said? The fruit of the Spirit is patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Okay, so when you get low on feelings, you're getting stressed, don't pray for patience. You already have it. Don't ask God for something you already have. Ask how to use what you have properly. Ask for more forgiveness, more open-mindedness. Don't hang around people that upset you so much. And when people make knives or swords or tools, if they do it properly, that metal that they use will go through at least two stages by heat. One is they harden the metal, make it tough. Then they temper it so it'll be flexible. So if you do something to that knife and it loses its temper, it's going to break, just like us. Thank you.
Richard, would you stand with me and let me close you in prayer? Father, good practical advice and lessons today. And so help us to use what you've already given us. I like that. I'm going to think about that all day. Go with us today. Thank you for the beautiful weather. Be with us, and may we just radiate your love wherever we go. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We're dismissed. Have a great week.